Well, an online community of working mothers in the United States has launched a campaign called Motherhood on the Resume. They want mums to update their CVs and job titles on LinkedIn to reflect their time now as a parent or previously. But does motherhood belong on a CV and could it help you find new work? Well, joining me to talk about this, we have Avril Lehman, business and leadership psychologist. Good morning, Avril.
Good morning.
Avril, do you think that there's judgments if there's gaps in the CV? And do you think that this is a good way to explain? And do you actually think they would help people secure a job?
My knee-jerk reaction, first of all, is why aren't we talking about parents? We always talk about mothers and worse still, we talk about mums, which drives me personally mad. In my own case, my daughter took 6 months maternity leave. My son-in-law has taken 6 months paternity leave, and they are absolutely sharing. So what we do have to be careful, because yes, there is immense judgment of women by employers, and yes, gaps are judged. But we have to realize that with bias, as it is at the moment, men have children, they get paid more because they're seen as more reliable. Women are seen as more flighty, less, more distracted. Their pay goes down. So it would be a brave person who'd put this on. I'm not saying that's right. And I think in the pandemic year, we've seen many more men and women grappling with work and children, which ought to normalize it, but we're still dealing with deep-seated beliefs that women are distracted, and it may be unfair, but I think it would be, you need to be very careful, because men can get away with putting rugby on their CV and people think, wow, that's fantastic, even though they haven't played for 20 years and it's not relevant. Women rarely put anything that really matters to them on their CVs of their activities, and often pretend to be kind of secret parents. You know, if they're late into work when we go to work, they'll blame the train. They won't say the baby was sick, because there's so much judgment still around.
Oh, gosh, you know, you're right, there is, there's judgment. And I think, you know, it's even the issue of pregnancy and whether someone is planning on having a child is kept secret out of fear that, you know, they might be looked over for a promotion because they'll leave it for the mat. It's an interesting point, and I'm glad to hear that your son is being hands-on. I certainly
it's
think a lot...
It's absolutely fantastic. And the babies, and he's already, he posted on LinkedIn as a wonderful example. And of course, men get all the credit, women are doing it all the time. But he posted on LinkedIn about this is the toughest job I've ever done,
and it's wonderful.
It was great role modeling, but of course men are then seen as heroes. But you know, we also have to remember that if you do have children, and I've had a couple of children, we think they're the most important thing in the world, and they actually take up a tiny part of an entire career. Now if we're working till we're in our 70s or whatever, we've probably got 50 years to look at how we want to take that time. And we need to look for employers who will make it easy for parents to be well-rounded, and they'll recognise how good that is. So they'll allow them to work from home, they'll give them flexibility, and they'll do that for men as well as women. But women need to be allowed to catch up right now.
Avril, did you agree with her, the professional kind of wording, that the skills that she would put on the CV there?
Yes, I think Amy's absolutely right. Although I sometimes have to get women out of multitasking. If they really want to be leaders, they need to learn how to refocus again and just really concentrate. But you know, the thing that, that's been missed out that I think would do men a great benefit is the emotional literacy that you have to learn. And the organizations talk about we need emotional intelligence. And well, you really have to learn it if you're dealing with small children. And that's a fabulous asset that women especially bring to companies, which ought to be valued, but still, as Emma was saying, we need an enormous shift, and putting it on the shoulders of one woman all the time, it's just you can't get the shift happening fast enough.
I think you're right there, and it's certainly been said that there are men out there who are now realising for the first time, whether their wife actually has a job or not, or is a stay-at-home mum, that you know, now that they're, even though they might be in the spare bedroom or on the kitchen table, they're actually seeing for the first time. And of course, it could be the other way around, a stay-at-home dad and then the working mum is seeing this. But I think we'll, safe to say, statistically, it's, you know, the women that do most of the at-home parenting. But I think this probably has been one of the greatest opportunities for men to have an insight, or the other partner to have an insight as to exactly what goes into being a parent. Avril, I mean, mothers can have a hard time going back to a workplace. Do you, you know, what advice do you have for them, you know, to have their to get their confidence back, to make sure that they're feeling themselves again? Because I think a lot of women, certainly my friends who've had children, go through a slight identity crisis. They might go, I've got a friend gone from being a theatre producer, and then she's just wiping poop. And how do they transition back into that person that they were for that role and for that time period?
I think it's a really important point, because sadly what I find is women's confidence is not always robust. So if you then take them out of work for any length of time, that can crumble a bit. And of course, when I'm working with them, what you're encouraging them to do is to build a real picture of their own strengths, to give themselves credit, to reboot, you know, to really work on their confidence. The best thing is to keep in touch. The best thing is to keep doing some of the things, because, you know, if you're not using your brain in the way you used it, yes, you're using it in lots of great ways, but, you know, like when I took time off, I was still always a psychologist and was able to do some work. So the more you can keep fresh in what you're doing, have some outside outlets, because man or woman, you know, little children do not need you 100% of the time. I sometimes think it's when they hit 13, you really ought to be staying home a bit more. So, but we need women back. We need them back from a commercial point of view, that we need our companies to be fishing from the entire talent pool rather than the entirely male talent pool. We need that breadth. So if women, especially if they've been out for a longer time, there are now organizations and recruiters who are working specifically about getting wonderfully qualified women back into work, even after years out of it. But it all starts with their confidence and self-belief, and perhaps that's about talking to other people about the desire to get back to work, or seeking out the people who are recruiting. And you know, from the psychological perspective, children are pretty robust, you know, and we worry so much about them when they're tiny, and if, as long as you've got really good childcare there, you can relax a bit and get back and have some time at work, which makes it much easier to go full time. But being able to work from home, being able to have flexible time, may mean that people can keep their career jogging along, and it may sound impossible, alongside their childcare. That might be just too much, but confidence is the king. But, you know, we really need women back in the workplace to normalise the workplaces as much as anything else.
That's a wonderful point to end on there. Although I might say confidence is the queen. Is that controversial there, maybe? Thank you so much for your input, Avril Lehman, business and leadership psychologist.